Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond and I love to tell stories. Do you know where bats live? Bats and people have been peacefully coexisting for thousands and thousands of years, but people don't know much about bats, and bats don't know much about people. One thing we do know about bats is that they are mammals, just like people are. That means that when mummy bats have babies, they need to feed them milk. And the mummies and babies live together in a nursery until the babies drink enough milk to grow strong enough to fly away and hunt on their own for insects. That's what bats eat. Hundreds of mummy bats live in one nursery with their babies. The mummy bats hang upside down inside the nursery, and the baby bats hang on to their warm, fuzzy tummies. But the bats only live in the nursery during the summer months when there are lots of insects flying around to eat, and the pups, that's what baby bats are called, pups, they need to be with their mamas. In the winter, all of the bats stop flying around and they hibernate. They sleep all together in a big fuzzy warm ball called a hibernaculum. This story begins in a bat nursery where all the female bats have babies except for one. Her name is Morningstar, and she is always late for everything. She was always the last one to start hunting for food when the sun starts setting, and she is always the last one to finish hunting and to return to the roost for a rest when the sun is filling the horizon with light, and the Morningstar is the only star bright enough to still be seen in the sky. That is how she got her name, Morningstar. She is used to being late and being last, but she never expected that her pup would be late too. But she was. Morningstar watched all her friends have baby pups all summer long, but Morningstar's baby never came. Morningstar was sure that she had a baby on the way, though, so when the other bats told her that the leaves were falling and it was time to fly to the hibernaculum, Morningstar said she couldn't go until her baby arrived. Morningstar was sad watching the bats fly away in twos and threes and tens, but what could she do? She just knew that she should stay put, waiting for her baby to come. Morningstar was alone in the nursery for a long time, and finally her baby did arrive. It wasn't until Halloween, though, October 31st, that her pup was born, and there wasn't another little brown bat to be seen anywhere. Nights were getting so cold, and there were hardly any insects left. Often there was frost on the grass at dawn, and Morningstar knew that if she and her pup were to survive the long winter, they'd have to fly to the hibernaculum before her little baby was old enough to fly on her own. So Morningstar named her newborn baby bat Night Dash, because that was what they were going to have to do together. Now, in the same town that Morningstar and her pup Night Dash lived, there happened to be a lonely little monster named Dave. Dave was lonely because there were so few monsters left in small towns anymore, and he had lost the ones that were there while playing a game of hide and seek. His monster friends, Larry, Scary, and Harry, had hid so well that Dave never did find them. And it had been months and months. He missed them, especially Larry, who told him funny jokes, and especially Scary, because she was so awesome to climb trees with, and especially Harry, who was so good at lurking around and then jumping out at you when you least expected it. How Dave wished Harry would jump out at him tonight. Dave looked everywhere for his friends. He looked in the sewers. He looked under every bed in town. He looked in basements and attics. He looked behind shower curtains and under bridges. He even looked in toilets where monsters are not known to hide at all. Dave hoped that Larry, Scary, and Harry would come out from hiding on Halloween night, because little monsters often did. It was the one time of year they were able to walk around town without any disguises on. They could just go out and about with their green skin, their giant furry feet, their horns, and their claws out in plain view. And people never said anything other than, wow, cool costume. And so the monsters loved, loved, loved Halloween night, and Dave was certain he'd find his friends running around in the middle of town, jumping out of bushes and causing chaos and mayhem. But standing in the middle of town on Halloween night, lonely little Dave the monster saw minions and Elsas, Marvel superheroes and Disney princesses. He saw skeletons and kitty cats, ladybugs and Darth Vaders, lions and Elmos, witches, Ghostbusters, Pikachus and pirates. He even saw a dog dressed up like a piece of pizza. And he saw lots of kids dressed up like monsters, but Dave didn't see his true monster friends. And he was worried that he was the last monster left on Earth, the last of his kind. Morningstar the Bat had been flying around and eating bugs all summer long, so she was really in fine form with a lot of strength in her wings and her back. And her newborn baby, Night Dash, was just as light as a peanut and could hold on tight to her mother's furry tummy as she flew. But Morningstar was tired from bearing her baby. It was a tiring business, and worst of all, she wasn't at all sure where the hibernaculum was. She noticed all the other bats flying directly west at the beginning of fall, and she hoped she could find the hibernaculum on her own, without any other bats to follow. But she wasn't sure. She knew to look for an old abandoned attic in a ramshackle house with peeling paint and a bit of a lean to one side, with spiky, leafless trees around the yard. She hoped, hoped, hoped she had enough strength to fly there, and that her powers of echolocation would help her find the warm, fuzzy ball of warmth that was the other hibernating bats. So Morningstar began her flight westward, and while she started nice and high above the treetops, she was getting more and more tired, and she flew lower and lower, right past some screaming minions and some screeching Elsas. She flew past terrified superheroes and huffy princesses. Her velvety dark flight path took her past startled skeletons and hissing kitty cats, surprised ladybugs and spooked lions. She flew past alarmed witches and stunned Ghostbusters. She shocked Pikachus and she made pirates scream. Then a dog dressed up like a piece of pizza chased poor Morningstar for several blocks, while an owl circled above, hooting, until poor Morningstar was too tired to fly another meter. Then she spotted what she hoped was a safe place to rest, without drawing too much attention to herself. Seated on a park bench in the middle of town, she saw a sad little monster statue with a trick-or-treat bag on his lap. The monster was staring dejectedly at his candy, because monsters hated candy, and Morningstar hoped the owl circling above would be too afraid of the monster statue to attack her there. The owl was. Owls are terrified of monsters, but the monster wasn't a statue at all. Of course, it was poor lonely Dave, missing his best friends. When the little bat Morningstar and her newborn baby Night Dash landed beside him on the park bench, Dave didn't scream or screech or huff or spook. He wasn't scared of bats, not in the least, but he was surprised to see a bat out so late in the season, and he asked Morningstar why she wasn't hibernating. She told him that she was simply late, and she was lost, and that she wanted to go to the hibernaculum, but she wasn't at all sure where it was, and besides, she was too tired to fly without a rest, and she was terrified of all the children out on Halloween night, screaming at her and exhausting her delicate sonar. Dave the monster told Morningstar the bat that he knew exactly where the hibernaculum was. Good monsters are always familiar with spooky attics, and the hibernaculum was in, of course, the spookiest attic in town. It was just across the graveyard, past the dead forest of old twisted trees with owl eyes gleaming out of every hollow in every dead tree, over the wrought iron fence on top of the hill. And Dave would be happy to take her there. He scooped little Morningstar up with her teeny tiny newborn baby bat named Night Dash, and he tucked them into his trick-or-treat bag where they rested atop all his candy that he'd collected that night, pretending to be a child but really looking for his lost friends. But when they got close to the spooky old house, while Morningstar perked up and regained her strength, Dave began to tremble and shake with fear. A family had bought the spooky old mansion and had spent the summer fixing it up. The family loved shopping at Costco, and the family loved Christmas too, and they had put up all the Christmas decorations that they'd purchased at Costco on the very first day of September. All around the spooky old house were twinkling Christmas lights, blinking, flashing, merrily destroying the darkness that used to surround the property. There were wreaths and balls and reindeer. There were Santas and spruce trees. There were snowflakes and icicles and a little Christmas train that went choo-choo-chooing around the yard on a little train track that looked like it was made out of candy. Everything was bright, lit up. There were teddy bears and poinsettias and a gaggle of plastic Victorian carolers with their plastic mouths fixed forever in silent high notes. Worst of all, there was an animatronic polar bear fishing for candy canes with penguin friends in elf hats at his side. Now, you might not think this sounds scary, but you're not a monster. If you were, you'd know that Christmas decorations are the one thing that monsters are terrified of. Poor Dave. He couldn't go a bit higher up the hill before he was paralyzed, trembling behind the wrought iron fence just beyond the reach of all those gleaming, sparkling lights and tinsel. "Well, I'm not afraid," said Morningstar. "I use sonar and echolocation to find my way around, and I never ever bump into a single thing. I can easily fly above all these human objects now that I've had a rest. Thank you so much for your help, Dave. If I can ever repay this kindness to you, I will." Dave watched Morningstar and Night Dash fly up, up into the moonlit sky, towards the hibernaculum. He watched them disappear into the safety of the ramshackle old attic, and then he watched them reappear, a bat-shaped flutter of darkness between him and the round, orange Halloween moon. He wasn't sure, but he thought that Morningstar was sending him a message straight to his monster heart with a series of flutters and clicks that said, "Wait, Dave. Wait where you are. We have a wonderful surprise for you." It's true. She did. When Morningstar and Night Dash entered the old house, they discovered, using their sonar, that there were three very scared monsters hiding up in the attic with the bats. Larry, Scary, and Harry had been playing hide-and-go-seek in the abandoned house when the new family surprised them by starting to move their stuff in. The monsters were terrified when they heard the new father climbing up the ladder into the attic while whistling jingle bells. The first thing he did was to proclaim it too dark and dismal, and he hung up a brilliant string of Christmas lights while the little monsters trembled and shook in the shadows. Then he began to move more and more boxes up there, many of them labeled Xmas Deco. Oh, if only the little monsters were brave enough to flee the attic when the family drove away to Costco to stock up on things, but they were too afraid of all those twinkling lights he'd left on. Then the family began to pile more and more boxes up there, towers of toilet paper and piles of pickle jars and peanut butter and other provisions. The little monsters were all boxed in with nothing to eat but human food. If that wasn't enough, the whole house lit up on the evening of September 1st, and the little monsters just could see no way out. Thank goodness that Morningstar thought up a plan to rescue them. First, she woke up the sleepy bats in the hibernaculum and asked them for their help. The bats wound toilet paper around and around the scared little monsters so they wouldn't be able to see all the bright Christmas lights around them, and they wouldn't be so afraid. Then they all worked together with their fuzzy bat wings to lift the little monsters up, up, and through the attic window and to fly them gently down, down, down to where Dave stood amazed in the graveyard below. The bats set the little monsters gently down in the darkness, and Dave was so happy to see his friends Larry, Scary, and Harry, and they were happy to see Dave too. "Thank you, little brown bats," they cried. And the little brown bats fluttered and yawned, and they flew back into the hibernaculum to fall fast asleep through the long winter. but none were as sleepy and tired as Morning Star and her newborn pup Night Dash, who snuggled into the very warmest center of the bat colony. And nobody was so happy as Dave, who ran around the graveyard with his toilet paper wrapped friends who looked just like mummies, screaming boo and gotcha and happy Halloween. And happy Halloween to you. Thank you for dropping by the lily pad from me, Lily, a frog.